The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of Kevin Jordan or his guests. These gardening tips and suggestions may work for you, as well as those from alternative sources. When using any garden products or tools, read and follow all label directions.
The Green Acres Garden Podcast is the podcast dedicated to helping gardeners hone their growing skills while we celebrate our love of plants. So whether you're new to growing or a seasoned gardener, you're sure to learn something new. Join the fun as we have conversations with world-class growers, passionate green thumbs, and professional garden experts from Green Acres Nursery and Supply. Listen every week. We'll answer questions you didn't know you had. And away we grow. Welcome, everybody, to the show. This is the Green Acres Garden Podcast. The birds are chirping, the sun is shining, and I am so happy to be here. We have a great episode for you this week. Back in studio with Austin Blank, the audio man himself. What's going on there, Austin?
Hello. Hey, Kevin. I am doing great. And welcome back to the show, all of our listeners. How are you doing this week, Kevin?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah. Still exhausted.
Still?
I've got what I'm calling perlite eye.
What is that?
Perlite. It's a new medical
term. You got some crusties
term
on your
I coined. It's kind of when so I was up the other night. It's like, you know, you're up every hour and a half bottle feeding these babies in the middle of the night trying to help out, and I'm so tired. I'm getting like no sleep. I've noticed my eyes are barely opening up. I can hear them as I open my eyelids. it's rough. It's like sandpapery,
like
right?
A vampire opening its coffin.
Yes. And so even as day broke, My eyes, dude, they're so dry. It felt like somebody had ground up perlite and just held my eyelids open and then just poured them in. You know what perlite is?
Yeah.
That's the, for everybody who don't know, which I'm sure you do because you guys are all competent green thumbs, that's the white volcanic rock. You see it utilized in potting mixes, hydroponics a lot, and it just helps roots breathe and whatnot, and it's coarse and that's what my eye felt like.
Okay.
So
well,
it was
that's
rough, man.
Not ideal.
Yeah,
so let's get you some eye drops and.
So I moved on. I've drank some water. I'm feeling good.
Okay.
Actually, I mean, it's one of those things where it kind of just comes and goes, and I'm feeling really good. It's a beautiful time of year. There's a lot going on. I'm exhausted, but I also oddly get some energy, and I'm feeling the energy right now, Austin.
Well, we met up with a great garden guest.
Somebody
yes,
we did.
We last met up with in November, and of course, we're talking about the legendary Debbie Arrington,
local garden royalty. I will say.
And she joined us again, and we talked about spring gardening and spring cooking, which is like something I'm really excited about. I want to do more of this. This is something I'm really interested in.
Oh yeah,
is planting plants that I have already thought of like a recipe to utilize those plants in.
Well, you cook a lot too.
I try. You know, I've been a little off it lately. I've been pretty busy, but I really love cooking at home and I want to be using my crops. So I've been planting stuff I want to cook with, and Debbie's all into that too. So, I mean, this is the gardener's
perfect,
way, right?
Perfect timing. This week's episode takes a turn for the tasty. we're talking with Debbie Arrington, somebody who has just a wonderful background and wealth of knowledge, both in the garden and actually utilizing the bounty of the garden, the horn of plenty. Bring it inside, chop it up, and rinse it, clean it, and sizzle it up. Do something with it. And she has an incredible online cookbook. There's Taste of Spring, Taste Summer, Taste Fall, Taste Winter. And it's pretty cool and a great little partnership with our sponsor. And so it's kind of a natural, you know, a little relationship made in the garden. So it's a great little interview. We're going to learn all about, like you said, the things that you're interested. How do we actually grow plants that we can bring in and then quickly enjoy and utilize to the max in our own kitchens? It's something that I think maybe goes overlooked. When you first start to garden, you grow a few plants and you go, oh, that really didn't grow a whole lot. There wasn't very much there. Then the next year, you kind of do you grow so much, you have this huge harvest. Hopefully gardeners have had this problem. That's the best thing about gardening. You grow and you go, wait, maybe I'm growing a lot now. And that's a good problem. So you're giving it away, you're doing stuff. It's really fun to have a fallback where you go, okay, here's a person where I can go find some recipes, learn from other people to kind of get, you know, maybe some ideas flowing. I don't know about you, Austin. I get stagnant in my cooking choices.
Oh, I see.
You know, or I don't know what you don't know. I'm ignorant. is what I'm saying.
Right. But this could shake you up. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
So this is the perfect thing if you love food and gardening. So
yes.
Let's go ahead and jump into our interview with Debbie Arrington. We met up with her at the Green Acres in Elk Grove to talk all about the upcoming bounty and what we can be cooking in the garden. So here we go with Debbie.
Debbie, how's it going? It's so nice to see you again.
It's great to see you too.
Please tell us a little bit about your background. You mentioned your writing, but currently you've done something pretty incredible. You kind of branched out on your own with a partner. You've created this wonderful thing. Can you tell us about Zach,
sure.
Zach Diggs Gardening?
Yes. Kathy Morrison and myself, we're both former Sacramento Bee people, and we created a blog called Sacramento Diggs Gardening, and it will celebrate its sixth birthday on June 1st.
Congrats.
Thank you very much. We have published a blog post every single freaking day since June 1st, 2018.
Pretty impressive.
And that is not easy. When you consider all the different types of things, you know, that go on in people's lives and technology and
that's
all
consistent.
That stuff. It's very consistent. And one of the things we've done is that we have recipes every Sunday. And so that's more than, well, we're going on 300 recipes here. That's a lot of recipes.
And certainly.
And we've compiled the recipes into four easy-to-use seasonal cookbooks, e-cookbooks online, and they're called Taste Spring, Taste Summer, Taste Fall, Taste Winter, and they're all on our website. And you can search through for seasonal recipes in any of those different ones. And since they're all up there together, when you're in a shoulder season, like we are now between spring and, you know, winter and spring, and then spring and summer, you can look up different ones from the recipe index. They're indexed by ingredients. And so, say,
I think that's awesome because we're always kind of growing different things. Like, wait, what can I do with this crop?
Yes. And that is the question that Kathy and I ask ourselves every week is, we have a lot of X, what do we do with it? And everything that we have on the website is because that's something that we harvested from our own gardens that week, or we got at the farmer's market. So we know it's something that's in season, that's ready to harvest right now, and that other people in the greater Sacramento area and beyond are asking the same question, I got it, what do I do with it?
So right now we're right in the throes of spring. The garden, at least my garden is looking, it's ripping right now. What are some of your favorite recipes that you have to utilize some of our spring crops that are coming in right now?
Oh, there's a ton. Well, we have more than 60 recipes in the Taste Spring cookbook, and we are in the process of expanding it. So there's going to be another, about a dozen or so recipes added to it very soon. But among my favorite things for spring are strawberries, and we have several strawberry recipes in there. We do all sorts of things with strawberries, from strawberry bread and strawberry muffins to, you know, strawberry desserts to savory strawberries, such as strawberries in salads and strawberries in sauces for pork or chicken or fish. All sorts of different things with strawberries.
So you get that sweet and that savory kind of
yes.
combination.
And well, strawberries, when you actually bite into the strawberry, it's crunchy and juicy, but it's not necessarily that sweet. It's sort of like a tomato in that it has sweet notes to it, but there's also these bright notes that are sort of like a citrus too, you know, that are tangy, you know, and not necessarily overtly sugary, you know. So strawberry can be a chameleon in a lot of things. And I love salads, but tomatoes out of season don't do anything for me. So I'm always looking for things that will play that role in a salad, that have that sweetness and crunchiness and juiciness that a tomato plays in the salad.
And some color.
And some color, also that brightness.
Yeah.
You know, so we have, about two or three different strawberry salads. We have a strawberry slaw that's strawberry and cabbages. And stuff that's
sounds
neat.
So good.
When we have a strawberry salad that is really, really pretty, it's our cover salad. It's strawberry, spinach, and fresh radishes, the baby radishes that you get right now, and spring violets, the edible violets that are popping up all over your garden.
Oh, yeah.
And it is just a beautiful, beautiful
salad. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to taste as nice as it looks.
Yes, it does. And it's one of those things that can be a star for Mother's Day, you know, when you're doing something that's just really that's something pretty.
Took a little time and it looks really nice.
Yes.
But you don't get to eat all the time. Well, I'm curious, is there one that you've recently created that you are especially proud of where you're like, man, this is cool?
Baked apricots and almond cream is wonderful recipe. And it's simple and, you know, apricots are precious, you know, because they take a lot of effort to grow. And
all year for like a week or week and a half of harvest.
Yes, and then all of a sudden, bam. And apricots are like strawberries in that they're one that can go savory as well as, you know, sweet. And we got different sauces and stuff like that. But the apricots baked in almond cream, it's very pretty and it's showy. It's like a tart without a tart shell. You know, so it's like all the filling without the work.
I like
it.
You know,
so, yeah. And it looks very pretty.
Well, this is keto friendly.
yes. And it uses almond flour instead of wheat flour as a thickener, along with the egg yolks and the sugar. But it's all of our recipes, we try to go light on the fats and sugars and salts because people are watching all those things in their diets. And we also have...
We can always add more if we want.
Yes, exactly. You can always put more salt on. And we also have several recipes that are vegan or vegetarian friendly.
Nice.
Our main dishes are vegetable forward.
As they should be.
Yes.
And if it's a gardening cookbook.
Yes. One of the recipes that looks beautiful this time of year and is as pretty and as it is delicious is the green bean and apricot salad. It's that mixture of bright green and bright orange on a plate. It's just beautiful.
It's that contrast.
Yeah, it's that contrast. You asked how we came up with all these recipes. Experience and a lot of other cookbooks. Kathy and I, between the two of us, we have well over 1,000 cookbooks. And so we have lots of inspiration around us.
Absolutely.
You know, and we can go through and say, okay, here's green beans. What do other people do with green beans? You know, and you start looking through what other ideas people have done with green beans. And then you start combining different things and saying, well, will this work? Will that work? You know, and so there's a lot of trial and error. But because we both had so much experience in writing and editing recipes, we have a pretty good idea what will work and what won't work. And everything that we publish, we have tested ourselves. So we know that it will work.
I didn't want to cut you off, but that's where you need to bring me and Austin in. You do the recipes. We can be your guinea pigs. You can test it on us anytime. Just let me know. I'll be there. That's really cool. I love that. It's one of those things where I think a lot of people have jobs and careers that maybe they're skillful at, but maybe they don't get to be creative at.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something to be said about being good at something like yourself, but also be having that outlet for creativity. Gardening, I think, allows that. But then I think taking the bounty of the garden and then doing something like you're doing, elevating that food on a higher level is pretty cool. And then sharing that with people is, of course, amazing.
And we have a lot of different ways to preserve your bounty, too, because you always end up with too much of something. You know, like, what do you do with all those extra beets? How to pickle them. You know, how to make them into a regular ingredient that you can use in other things. Roasting.
And then enjoy them later.
Yes.
Out of season. That's fantastic. So, Debbie, I've got a request. Austin is a bit of a beet lover, as am I. Do you have any really delicious recipes for beets? I'm about to bring in a beet harvest at the school, and it'd be kind of exciting for me to be able to do something interesting with our students with beets.
Beets are wonderful in that you've actually got two crops in one. You've got one above ground and one below ground in the beet greens, which are charred, as well as the beautiful red or golden nuggets underneath. And the striped beets are always pretty. I love roasted beets. Roasting brings out the natural sugars in the beet and makes them super yummy.
I agree.
So, Roasted beet and citrus salad is a wonderful recipe that's flexible to whatever citrus you happen to have on hand. And our recipe online, we used Caracara oranges or red grapefruit because the colors were a nice contrast to the beets. But regular oranges or yellow grapefruit also work well with it. And then it's combined with baby spinach or salad greens, where you have the roasted beets, you have your citrus segments, and then your bright green baby spinach or salad greens are a nice contrast to that. And then vinaigrette has also the citrus juice, either orange juice or grapefruit juice, depending on what sort of citrus you put in there, with balsamic vinegar, extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of sugar, and a little bit of Tabasco, and salt and pepper.
A good vinaigrette, I can drink like a fine wine.
Yes.
I love vinaigrette.
And it's a super easy vinaigrette that goes well with those vegetables.
Yeah.
The hardest part of this recipe is roasting the beets. And the easiest way to roast your beets is when they still have a little bit of their top on them. So leave about 2 inches of the top when you cut off the greens, and then trim the taproot, and then wrap that little beet up in foil.
Oh.
Okay, and then put it in foil, and you can have a whole bunch of beets in foil in the same roasting pan. And they're all like getting their own little shelter. Preheat the oven to 375 degrees, and then roast the beets until they're fork tender. Now, if they're
little, that means you can push a fork kind of easily into
where,
it.
When you put the fork through it, you know, you don't get any resistance.
That's how my abs are. You push them in there, just no resistance.
The little baby beets will take about 30 minutes for the little ones. Great big beets take a full hour.
It's pretty incredible how dense they are.
Oh, yes.
You know, they're meaty. Yeah.
And when you're roasting your beets, try to roast similar sizes together, because that way their cooking time will be the same. If you're roasting a whole bunch of different beets of different sizes, then you've got to figure out, okay, I'm going to take the little guys out first when they're done, and
just know they're going to cook a little
they're
going to
cook faster. Otherwise, they'll get real mushy.
That's good advice.
So you can roast the beets ahead of time and then let them cool. So you could do it the night before, or you could do a whole bunch of roasted beets on, say, Sunday, and then have them available all week long.
And beets, from what I hear, are pretty darn good for us and have some health benefits.
They're incredibly antioxidant-rich, nutrient-dense. They're full of all sorts of vitamins.
Yeah.
And they're one of the best things that you can eat.
I love it. I love doing a good root roast where I'll do the beets, carrots, and parsnips. And, I mean, chef's kiss. I mean, like I said, a little olive oil, a little salt, pepper, and roast it up. And, man, that is good.
It's very good. The thing about beets is when you're using red beets, they tend to turn everybody into red color also. So that's the one thing about working with beets is don't wear white. Just be careful, because they're going to get red beets.
Don't wear it after Labor Day, and don't wear it when you're cooking your beets.
Yes.
Check. Got it. I love it. That's fantastic. Are there any, other than beets, what are some of your favorite spring crops to really enjoy this time of year? You brought up strawberries, some beets. What are your go-tos?
Fava beans.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. Fava they're beans.
Big old honking beans on there.
Not only the beans, but the greens. The fava beans, a lot of people use them as a cover crop around here during the winter.
Yep.
Because they stabilize nitrogen in the soil. And so it's a way to improve your soil while also keeping the weeds down. In our community garden, lots of gardeners, you know, put the fava beans in for the winter, but then throw away the plants. Because as far as they were concerned, this was just something that you were putting in as a space
placeholder,
until you put in your tomatoes. And they were totally ignoring what a wonderful vegetable they had. The greens taste like spinach and are very easy to work with, in that they're green, you know, so you can use them like you do spinach. You wash them and, you know, steam them or saute them. But they taste like the fava beans. And chefs in restaurants use fava greens instead of fava beans quite often to stretch the fava flavor without the labor, because fava beans are labor intensive to harvest and cook. The bean It's an unusual bean in that it's a big flat bean and has this big long pod. And the pod has this velvety inside, which is really unusual. And the bean itself has a real hard outer coating on it, which is bitter. And when the favas are babies, you can leave that coating on. But when the favas get bigger, when they get about the size of a lima bean, it takes away from the luxurious, nice flavor of the fava with that bitter shell.
How do we get to that point?
That's why God invented thumbnails. That's what Alice.
I gotta stop chewing mine then.
But Alice Waters told me one day was that you use your thumbnails to pop the bean out. And that's what makes the fava bean so labor intensive, in that not only do you have to take them out of the pod, but then you have to shell them out of their individual casings before you cook them. You can get that same flavor with the greens without doing any of that. You just chop it up and cook it. So when you see something on the menu that says fava, but not fava bean, it's usually because they use the greens and not the beans.
Right on.
But I do a lot of stuff with favas during the spring.
That's pretty cool. This might be in the same vein, but is there, because everyone has their go-tos, but is there, you think, like an underdog or an overlooked or underlooked, it's underchosen and overlooked crop in spring that people maybe should be growing, but just maybe aren't as in numbers like you notice. Like everybody loves a good tomato in summer, but is there a crop that you just are delighted by in spring that you just think more people should grow and enjoy?
Oh, peas. Peas are wonderful. Peas are like little droplets of sugar, and the thing about peas is that the sugar starts turning to starch as soon as they're picked. So when you have commercial peas, you're tasting mostly starch. You're not tasting the sugar. When you get fresh picked peas out of your own garden and get them, from the backyard and the kitchen in a hurry, you're preserving that sweetness. And they're incredible. They are so, so sweet and just wonderful. I like the English peas, which are, like peas, as well as the sugar snap, where you can have the edible
edible pod.
The ones that I like best are the ones where they can go either way. So that way,
if you get them early, you can get them. If not, shell them a little later.
Yes, exactly.
We try to do the same thing at the school because that's because out of convenience. It's nice when we walk out there, do a little tour, have the kids graze, and the same thing. It's kind of sweet, like even uncooked.
They're sweet. Right off the plant. Yeah, they're sweet. You don't want to eat that many of them off because you can get your stomach upset. But they are sweet right off the plant. You can eat them right in the garden. And they're a great plant as an introduction to children growing vegetables.
Well, they're fun to plant from seed.
Yeah.
They sprout quickly. Yes. You can train them up a trellis or get a bush style. Now, maybe in the same vein as the fava talk. I love eating the tendrils of peas. What are your thoughts on those?
They're great stir fried.
Yeah.
It's another thing where you want to get the very baby like ones.
Very young.
Very young, because the older leaves are hard to digest. So it's better to get the young baby ones. Those
little fresh shoots that are coming off.
And just put them in the stir fry. Yeah.
I've enjoyed them in salads. I'll throw them in a sandwich for a crunch. Mm-hmm. I haven't done stir fry. That sounds kind of nice. Kind of soften them up.
Yes.
Let them absorb a little flavor.
Yes.
Well, Debbie, right now it's a beautiful springtime, but summer, like we're always kind of enjoying what we planted a while back. We're growing, we're maintaining, we're harvesting right now. But a lot of folks, they already have their sights set on summer. Is that okay? Should we be looking forward to summer? And if so, what are some of the best home crops to grow that maybe will coincide with some of your recipes?
Oh, well, we've got all the summer crops covered.
Yeah.
We've got, at least 30 vegetables and fruit in the summer cookbook.
There we go.
Yeah, it's got a lot. Squash, green beans, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, all those.
All the hits.
All the major ones, yes. One of our most popular recipes is tomato jam, and it's...
isn't that just tomato sauce? Are you pulling my leg, Debbie?
No, it's got some sugar in it, but it's like a relish or ketchup.
Ooh.
And it's one of those that is in between, so you can use it as a relish on grilled chicken and pork or fish, or you can use it on sandwiches like a ketchup, or you can also put it on toast or a muffin, you know, because it has enough sweetness in it that when you're thinking sweet, it tastes sweet, but then when you need it to be zesty, it's zesty.
Love it. Ugh. What's your favorite tomato to grow?
Oh.
From a chef's perspective.
Oh, well,
Or a gardener's perspective, anyway.
Well, from a gardener's perspective, I always grow early grill because I know it will produce.
And early.
It produces early. It's the first one.
Always pretty, too. They're always very uniform.
They're very nice, uniform tomatoes. And I do a lot of canning. What I like about it is that it's a good size for a jar.
So with great anticipation, Debbie, I remember a while back we talked about this. I'm going to bring it up now. A pretty cool thing to announce. You have a partnership with Green Acres Nursery and Supply. You are partnering up with them in some fashion where you're going to have your signage at some of the nurseries attached to some of the different varieties of plants and vegetables and herbs that will allow people to kind of find you much easier. Can you tell us a little bit about that? It's exciting.
Yes. Well, we're very happy that Green Acres is one of our sponsors for our website, so we can continue to do this as a public service. And when people go into a nursery, they'll look at a plant and they'll say, wow, these squash look so fantastic. They're beautiful little squash plants. But what am I going to do with all this squash? Well, we have those answers. And we have those answers in hundreds of recipes that we have available on our website. But to find it easier, we're going to have QR codes and signage in the nursery where people can just scan the QR code and we'll take them right to the website and the e-cookbooks. And we have 4 e-cookbooks, Taste Spring, Taste Summer, Taste Fall, Taste Winter. Amongst those 4 cookbooks, we have almost 300 recipes. It will be over 300 recipes soon. And so the QR code will take you right there, so you don't have to type anything in. And all you have to do is just look for our logo. It's a sunflower logo. And it's going to be on signage in the nursery in the edibles department. And for people that are looking for our website without their phone, our website is sacdigsgardening.californialocal.com.
Debbie Arrington, thank you so much for spending some time with us. And I'm certain that we will have you back on in the near future to talk more about plants growing, gardening, and cooking, because it's fun.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, and we are back. Big thank you to Debbie for joining us and sharing all of your fun garden knowledge. And I want to direct our listeners to her website, Sac Digs Gardening. And then it's .californialocal.com, but I'll go ahead and link that in the episode description, and I'll point you straight to the Taste Spring recipes. There's a lot of amazing-looking food that you can put together, and Kevin, I think this was just, one of the best things we could be talking about.
It's fun to be able to, like, elevate the work you do in the garden. You know, we all enjoy it. We garden, we grow. Sometimes we eat things just raw and fresh, and that's great, but when you can actually put the, you know, those parts together and make something totally new, whether it's a dish that's cold or hot, it's fun and something that you can maybe share or just enjoy yourself. I think bring that bounty in and maximize it, multiply it, so that way you can divide it and enjoy it. I loved it. Debbie is a fantastic guest. I learned so much. And you brought up, you can go look at the Taste Spring, but guess what? Summer's right around the corner here. And you had a really good idea when we were kind of preparing for this, that you're the kind of person where you like to kind of plan ahead. So it'd be nice to have these recipes a season ahead so you could go, these are the crops I kind of want to plant and grow and cultivate so I can have this harvest.
Right.
And, you know, maybe actually, you know, put these dishes together. Summer's around the corner. So if you're planning on having certain summer dishes, this is a great time to kind of plan that out right now. There's a big push out there for a lot of us to kind of maybe get a little healthier, but that doesn't mean restricting all the things that we love. I mean, just bringing in more of the good stuff. And so fresh grown, homegrown produce, I mean, you can't beat it. And I think if there's good recipes out there to maybe get you excited, you're more likely to maybe enjoy all that healthy nutrition out there. So,
and you know, Debbie said, there's a lot of dessert recipes here too.
And drinks as well, cocktails yeah. And beyond.
So have a little fun too. But.
Absolutely. A little bit for everybody. But you know, I had a little fun. You know, you missed out, Austin.
What's up?
Before we wrap things up, I got to talk to you about wrapping things up.
What does that mean?
Because I saw something wrapped up.
What did you see?
When you left, I got to have a little extra talk with Debbie.
Oh.
And did you realize her father is the world's oldest bodybuilder on planet Earth?
Wait, what?
Dude, you can Google it.
Okay.
Prove me wrong. Her father, Jim Arrington, she shows me this picture, and it's her dad in a tight little Speedo. She's like, that's my dad, and he's ripped, Austin.
What?
Dude,
that's cool.
We better hit the gym after this.
Okay, so what do I Google?
He's in his 90s. He's shredded. He's Jim Arrington, or you could Google the world's oldest bodybuilder.
World's oldest
Let's see if she was. Let's see if she was a... leading me astray. She seemed pretty earnest.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is he.
This guy.
That's the picture she showed me right there in those sweet little drawers.
Wow.
That Speedo's painted on him, baby, buddy, right there,
that's
man.
That's cool.
If you need help out in the garden, just ask him.
He's
shredded.
Now aged 90, Jim is still going strong.
He eats very healthy. Yeah.
And still winning bodybuilding competitions. That's incredible.
Yeah,
at
so
90.
My straw hat to him.
Wow.
Tip of the hat for this week to her dad.
Nice.
Pretty cool. So yeah, so hey, you never know. You know, when you're talking with somebody, you never know that their dad is the world's oldest bodybuilder.
Fascinating. I love it.
So it's definitely, that's so funny. But with that said, let's wrap things up,
all
Austin.
All right, let's do it.
Let's truly, it's been a fantastic week. So much fun. I love talking food, kind of elevating what we do in the garden. Food is life, and it brings us together, it connects us, and there's so much to learn about, so much to eat and enjoy. So grow, share, eat, and do it all again, friends. Until next time, I wish you all an amazing week out in the garden. My name's Kevin Jordan, wishing you a great time in the garden. Please get out there, get some dirt underneath those nails, and until next week, garden friends, happy gardening to you all, and please,
never stop growing. Look at this, it says on this article, nowadays, he consumes more olive oil, mushrooms, and other similarly healthy produce. So it talks about his diet.
Yeah.
That's cool. And this is on Guinness World Records.